All right, beloved, the scripture where we'll be coming out of tonight is Genesis chapter 11, verse 6. Genesis 11, verse 6. If you have your place there, please say amen. Amen. You don't have to stand. You don't have to read out loud. Just follow along with me in your copy of God's Word. The Bible says, "And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one. And they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do." The title of the message is One Goal. One Goal. Let us pray. Father, tonight we thank You for Your precious and holy Word. I ask, Lord, that You allow me to decrease and You increase, Father. Hide me behind Your cross, Lord, and put Your words in my mouth. You'd have me to speak tonight, Father. And Lord, I pray that You'll take charge of our service and just have Your will and Your way be accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen. I have to admit that there are some things in life that scare me, as I'm sure they may scare you as well. Most everybody has a type of phobia somewhere. But this verse right here, to me, is one of the scariest verses I ever read in the entire Bible. I want you to notice what's happened. In Genesis chapter 11, in verse 1, the Bible informs us that the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. God had previously commanded them to go forth and spread over the earth and be fruitful and multiply and replenish. That is to fill, not to fill again. In 16:11, replenish meant to fill, not to fill again. So He told them to fill the earth. What happened was that God had already divided them into their racial areas inside of their various nations. In Genesis chapter 10, you have the division of the three families. The family of Japheth, they went mainly upwards up into Europe. And you have the family of Ham, that is the people that went down towards Africa and some into a few into the Middle East. And then Shem. Shem people went largely into the Middle East, and then they would go upward and on up towards the Caucasus and then up into the Asiatic areas. So what we have to understand out of that whole idea is that from Adam to Noah, there was one blood. There was Acts 17, verses 26 and 27 teach us that, "And God hath made of one blood all nations of men." So that's where the nations came from. Now, there were three races that God made out of Mrs. Noah's womb. Because you had the red man that was from Genesis, from Adam all the way down to Noah. Well, then, when you look at Japheth, Ham, and Shem's names, the etymological understanding of these names, you find that they had meaning. Japheth means white, fair, or light. Ham means hot, burnt, dark, or black. Shem means olive or dusty or the name. And so what you have there is you have the three basic races that God made. God made the black man, the white man, and the olive man. And He made the red man. Not chewing tobacco either. And so what happens is that out of the womb of Mrs. Noah, you have these three boys. If you look back and previously inside of Genesis chapter 5, you find that all of the patriarchs from Adam all the way down to Lamech, every one of them had sons and daughters, sons and daughters, sons and daughters, sons and daughters. You get to Noah, Noah had three sons. That's it. That's very curious that everybody else had sons and daughters, sons and daughters, sons and daughters. But you get to Noah, only three. Now why is that? Because God made the three basic sub-races out of Mrs. Noah's womb. The white people went up toward the northern area, up towards Europe. The sandy or olive complexion man went toward the Middle East and out to the Asiatic. Yes, and then out of that, out of the Asiatic area, that's going to come your yellow man of the Orient, like of the Chinese and of the Japanese and of the Thai and the Korean and all that area over there. And then after the flood, you're going to have some of these guys that are going to go up toward Lake Baikal in Russia. And then they're going to move over the Bering Strait. That's where the land bridge is. And then they're going to come down and trickle down into Canada. Oh, Canada. They're going to come down and they're going to begin to settle out here, there, and yon and move on down through North America, what will become the United States and the Confederate States. They're going to move down to Mexico. They're going to go down there, and then they're going to hit Guatemala, Que Pasa, and all, I mean, them other ones down there, Central, Central America. And then they're going to pop down into South America, and that's where the Indians come in. They are of Shem. That's where they come from. They have a haplotype in their DNA that matches the Mongolian, and it's called the Mongoloid haplotype. You say, why do you tell me all this? Because it's going to fulfill Scripture. Because in Genesis 9, Noah put a curse on Canaan, the son of Ham. That's where some people think black people come from. I got news for them. Black people come from Ham. That's the way he was born. And most of his young'uns were black. One or two of his young'uns were white. You say, how is that possible? Because evidently the three wives, Mrs. Shem, Mrs. Ham, and Mrs. Japheth, they were red-skinned. So when you have the white man and the black man and the olive man mixing with the red woman, that's going to allow the pigmentation inside of the genes and DNA and the haplotype, without getting into genetics and all of that, it's going to allow yellow and white and brown and red and all of these other ones to come out. That's how God did it. And He did that with 70 nations. That's what God did. God divided the races and God made the nations. Divine institution number 4. He made the nations. That is nationalism. God did that. Adolf Hitler didn't do that. Donald Trump didn't do that. Mussolini didn't do that. Hirohito did not do that. God did that. That's what God did. All right? So God intended for same people to be in a nation and have a same culture. And since they would not do this, they decided to make their own one world government. They had one language, and God said, fine, I told you to scatter all over the world, but you want to build your own selves up and make a name for yourselves, and you got one language. So God said, all right, I done divided you by family. I done divided you by race. I done divided you by your nation. Now, since you're being a bunch of blockheads, boom, I'm going to divide you by your languages. Now, why did they build the Tower of Babel? I don't have time tonight to develop all of that, but I'll give you a point in a nutshell. I'm going to step out of the pulpit over here because part of this is my own theory. You remember before the flood, you had the infiltration of the human race by the fallen angel. I believe one of Satan's principal reasons for doing this was to corrupt the human race, but there may be another reason why he wanted to do this. And part of that reason may be that he wanted to create a Superman. Not the kryptonite and all of that mess. I'm talking about a super race, if you will. So, that fails. All right? Now, what happened was, when the flood comes, there are two portals that are opened up. The windows of heaven are open, and then the fountains of the deep are opened up. Now, the fountains of the deep, that let the water that was underneath the crust of the earth shoot forward. And so now the oceans and everything are rising. And then the water, the canopy of water that was around the earth that was put there on day 2 of creation. You go back and read that, day 2. And he put the firmament in the midst of the waters, and then he had the waters which were above the firmament and the waters that were below the firmament that would become the oceans and the seas. So anyway, the water that was around the sky, that kept out a lot of UV rays and so forth and whatnot. So when God opened some of the windows of heaven, the canopy of water that was above the earth fell through, and that turned into rain. Previous to that, there was no clouds, anything of that nature. Can you imagine that? There were no clouds, none whatsoever. I love clouds, except when they're obscuring my stars. So anyhow, the windows of heaven were open. Now, there is a principle, there is a concept that I understand from Scripture. And God wired me in such a way to make me a nerd and like this kind of stuff where I understood that. In theoretical cosmological developments by Albert Einstein, and then there's another theorist, Podolsky, and another one called Rosen. And you have the EPR paradox. And this is where when you start talking about time travel and things of that nature, you get into this Einstein-Podolsky-Rosen bridge. I know it doesn't make any sense probably to you, but that's what it's called. And basically, in layman terms, we call it a wormhole. All right, so you got three heavens. You got the first heaven, the sky. The second heaven, outer space. The third heaven, where God dwells. All right, so here's Stephen, Deacon Stephen, Book of Acts. He's being stoned to death. They don't like his preaching. They grab a bunch of rocks and they start throwing those rocks on him. And as they're falling on him, he's looking up and it says he looked through the heavens and he saw Jesus standing. That means he's still alive. He looked through the heavens. That means he looked through outer space. Something the Bible says in the Old Testament that if that heaven could be measured, God would cast off Israel. If he cast off Israel, God, that means there are no more unconditional promises left. And that's not true. That means outer space can never be measured. And so what did I care about? Well, here's why. Think about it. If Stephen is standing, he's alive, and he's looking up, guess what just opened? He saw the heavens opened. That's a window of heaven. You remember when Jesus ascended up to heaven on Resurrection Sunday? The Bible teaches us through careful study that that's when he moved the Garden of Eden into the paradise of God. How did he do it? It had to be a window of heaven. So you say, okay, preacher, I get it. So what gives? All right, here's what gives. The fallen angels, this is my opinion. Some of the fallen angels realized they were not successful. They failed in the satanic infiltration in Genesis chapter 6. Now, anytime you have a military defeat, you've got to go back and reconvene and reorganize your army. Case in point. Every time Robert E. Lee whipped the Yankees, every time they went back in the Army of Northern Virginia and they reorganized the Army of Northern Virginia under a new Yankee general until they got to Grant in 64. When Lee suffered a defeat, he would go back, he'd pull his army back, he would reorganize the Army of Northern Virginia and put new corps commanders in and shake things up. That's what you've got to do. If you attack and your army don't win, then you got to change leaders. You got to change corps commanders. You need new brigade commanders, whatever it is. So now it looks to me like when they failed in the flood, right before the flood, they got to go back, lick their wounds, and reorganize. So here's my opinion. I studied some about ancient technology in before the flood and even after the flood. There's a lot of ancient technology out there that we have no clue about today because the bulk of this stuff has been put into legends and mythology. So when people hear about this stuff, they think, ha, 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 that's a bunch of hooey. Don't throw the baby out with bathwater. Like I was talking about the pyramid being a power generator. Don't throw that out. Look at me like I've lost my mind. You need to study some of this stuff. See, the fallen angels, some of the demons, they wanted to win. They wanted to get back at God. So they have these people now. They had been told by God, go out and spread over all over the world. But what were they doing? They were disobeying God, which means what? They were already doing something against God's word and God's will even then. So that means they're being led along by sin and, most likely, I believe, by fallen angels. So what they've got to do now is they've got to situate themselves underneath one of the windows of heaven. They don't know, the people don't know where that is. And so to get this thing off the ground, they put themselves in a one world government. And you know who the leader was? Nimrod. You find his name back in there. So Nimrod was a mighty hunter in the earth. And he was the dictator now. He had this empire. And he told the people, let's build. What did they say in Genesis 11? Let's build a tower to heaven. This is what I think, my opinion. I think the fallen angels were giving them forbidden technology to build a sky tower to where there was a window of heaven. The fallen angels, when the tower, I believe this, and if I'm wrong, I take the blame. I believe that the fallen angels were going to open the window of heaven and then allow in some type of way or manner from some type of craft. I think I'm crazy. That's fine. They would allow the people, this army, this invading army, to get up into this tower, get into this forbidden whatever it was, and shoot them into heaven. Cross right over into heaven and invade heaven and take over God's throne. God comes down. Now, if you think I'm out of my rocker and out of my tree, Genesis 11:6. Now, I want you to watch this. This is God speaking. I got a pretty substantive creative imagination, if I say so myself. And I do not say that braggingly. I say that because I'm an only child. And my uncle and my daddy know that little Craig had to do a lot of things to entertain himself when he wasn't with Holly and Tiffany and Angie and Tracy and Travis and Needy and Chrissy and Clay and Zach and Megan. I had to do a lot of stuff to entertain my little pea brain. But when you hear God say this, this scares the daylights out of me. He said, behold, the people is one. Now that right there tells you, number one, there's one people. Satan wants everybody to become one. Look at social media. Look at Facebook. Look how many times people share the same thing over and over and over. Look at Twitter, how they share one picture or one this or one that. And look how many times it begins to circle around. Look at the things that are trending. And then watch it come on CNN. Watch it come on MSNBC. Watch it come on Fox News. Watch it come on whatever, the News Hour, which whatever, whoever. All across the spectrum, they start talking about the same thing. And if you actually listen to the mainstream media, Google the YouTube videos. A lot of times, they all say, even if it's a little podunk station down in Ridgewater, Backwood, Bumpkin Town, USA, all the way up to New York City and Washington, D.C., if you watch those news anchors and you look at all the different channels, many times, they got the same story and they're saying the exact same words. The mainstream media is there not to give you news, not to help you, but to control your mind. Why? Because Satan wants one people. That's what he wants. He wants everybody on his side. And that's what God said. God said these people, they're one. And they have all one language. That's point number two. They have one language. Why is that important? You got to have one language to be able to communicate your idea and your ideas. And this they begin to do. Number three, they have one purpose. If they're one people and there's one language, God said, they're beginning to do this. What are they beginning to do? They're beginning to build the tower to heaven. I believe right underneath one of the windows of heaven to be able to go through and gain entry into heaven. You say, how is that possible? Think about it. In heaven right now, you have the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden that was in the Bible, in the book of Genesis. It's up there right now in heaven. The Tree of Life is up there in heaven. How do you know that, preacher? It's there. It's said to be there in the book of Revelation. You tie that back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Apostle Paul said he was caught up into the, there's only one, the third heaven, into the paradise of God, the paradise of God. There's only one. And then you read in the book of Revelation, the tree of life in the paradise of God. What is the paradise of God? It is the Garden of Eden. It was on the earth. Now it's in heaven. I liken it to a floating island. Jesus took it up there. And so when he took it up there, guys, you got to remember, Elijah never died. Moses died and God resurrected him. And then Enoch never died. There's three men in three physical bodies now in heaven. Now, up there. Don't tell me that no flesh and blood, bone, body can't go into heaven right now. There's already three of them up there. So it doesn't take a lot of imagination to think that an army of people could go up a tower and invade heaven. Especially if they were being led by fallen angels. Now remember, Satan's goal is to overthrow God. He came that close before the flood. You had eight people left that were true humanity, and he came that close to killing off Bible prophecy. And if you come that close to victory, yeah, your dander's up and you're ready to go at it again. Don't believe me? Look at Chancellorsville. Lee came that close to bagging half the Yankee army. And he said, we've come that close. Now we lost Jackson. It's time to go get him now. And what happened? Gettysburg. And we rammed our head into another stone wall. Bam! And we lost. And went all downhill after that. But Lee's dander was up. But I'll give you another point. This is no extra charge. Don't roll your eyes yet, Daddy. Just hang on. If you read about Pickett's Charge, July 3rd, 1863, James Ewell Brown Stewart, Jeb Stewart, was told to circle around the enemy and go in the back door. And that when the time came, the Pickett's Charge happened, Stewart was to be in the hindquarters of their army, and we would have won. But Stewart was stopped by cavalry. A little bitty, itty bitty, like a little bitty regiment of cavalry, and they held him off. And everybody blames Lee and Pickett's Charge. Over 12,000 men came in. Anyway, enough military history. Moving on. So Satan, yeah, amen. All right, let's move on. So now what happens is that Satan is ready to take heaven. And he's getting this tower built so he can move a new army up that tower into that window of heaven. And God says they have one purpose. They have one purpose. They begin to do this, but now listen to God. Listen to what God said. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. That says now, number four, they have one mind. Guys, this is the one goal of Satan and God. One people, one language, one purpose, one mind. That's what they had. Guys, these people were lost. They had that. That's what God just said. They're one people. They're all on the same page. They have one language. They have one purpose. Build the tower to heaven. And now they have one mind. They have one thought. And God said right there that if they have all that, He said, nothing that they imagine will be restrained from them. I can imagine some pretty wild things myself. And if God said, if y'all all become one, anything you imagine will be possible. Can you even remotely open Pandora's box and imagine the magnitude of some evil people and wicked, vile people in this world? If they get everybody thinking the same thing, God said, if you do that, whatever you want, the sky's the limit. God said that. Time travel. What if everybody just start thinking about time travel and suddenly, boom, they make a time machine. Then they go back. What are they going to screw up? Anything. Now do you understand why God made the nations? But yet the driving force you see in our young people, by and large, not all of them, but when you get to University of North Carolina, you get to University of Georgia and Alabama and University of New York and University of California, almost all across every university system, every higher institution of learning in this country, our young people are going into these institutions and they're coming out as atheists and socialists and, I was going to say cannibals, I mean, communists, liberals, immoral, wickedness. Everything we believe in, one man and one woman in marriage, oh, that's wrong. That's evil. You hate her. Oh, we believe in gay marriage. Oh, no, we don't. That's evil. That's abomination. Oh, you hate gay people. We believe in capitalism. Oh, you evil, wicked capitalists. We believe in socialism. You got this wild-eyed woman now up there in New York. God forgive me, but every time I look at her, I think of a donkey. I honestly do. The teeth. I don't know what y'all think of me when you look at me. You might think I look like a donkey too, but anyway, I'm sorry. I pray for her. She needs Jesus, what she needs. Honestly, goodness, what she needs. But she thinks socialism's going to solve everything. I heard the interview. She said, we want to do this, we want to do that. And then the interviewer said, how are you going to do it? How are you going to pay for it? And she said, we're just going to pay for it. And she said, yeah, sure. Yeah, we're like $300 trillion in debt. How are you going to foot the bill? Oh, just pay for it. Don't work that way, honey child. But you know why all this is happening? It's because Satan wants everybody to think the same thing. And if he can get everybody on that same page, God said nothing will be restrained from them. And God, that's scary. Let me give you a case in point. I'll try not to belabor it because I want to wrap this up. Years ago, they did an experiment with monkeys on an island. They put a monkey on one side of you think I'm nuts, Phil. This is true. They did one monkey on an island, and he did not know on the other side of that, I think there were 99 monkeys on the other side, chimpanzees. They gave him a dirty banana. They gave him a dirty banana. And they gave all 99 of the other monkeys the same thing, dirty bananas. They're trying to think about the power of thought. If the monkeys on the other side can somehow tap what this monkey over here is thinking. So, somehow the experiment went. And the one monkey finally, it dawned on him, he had like a cup or something of water, and he dipped the banana in the water and he cleaned it. And he ate it. A clean banana now. They said, the scientists said, at that split moment on the other side of the island, at once, at the same time, somehow, all 99 of those monkeys did the exact same thing that that monkey over there did. They all took their dirty bananas, dipped it in water, they cleaned it, and they began eating. They said that somehow they had all tapped, a collective consensus tapped into his one thought, and they all did the same thing. And I'll tell you right now, I have had glimpses of that. You think I'm nuts? Let me tell you something. You work inside of retail. I have worked and I have slaved my fingers to the bone in Dollar General. And I kid you not, I have seen people come in at intervals of 5 and 10 minutes into the dollar store and bam, all of a sudden, all at once, out of the blue, there's nobody in Dodge, and then all of a sudden, 25 people come at the same time to the checkout. Almost at once. You say, that's just, I don't think that's coincidence. When I see sometimes low information upstairs, and then suddenly this person says, ooh, I got to go check out. If the blaming monkeys can clean their bananas and 100 of them at the same time, what's 35 people in one little building going to do at the same moment? You got a computer between your ears that is more powerful than ENIAC or any other computer in the entire world. And we're not even using half of what God's given it. Satan wants everybody to think the same thing. Look at the food you eat. How do you know some of the chemicals inside of that were not put there by some super demon in Washington in the Department of Agriculture to get some of us start thinking the same thing? I don't know. I'm just thinking outside the box for a minute. That's why I was over there, not here. Because I don't think I'm coming back here ever again. That's all right. I'm just telling you guys, one goal is that one thing right there. That's why that bird scared the daylights out of me. I mean, when you had people growing their own food and reading the Bible and going to church, and we had one common culture in this country and different things in our society, half this stuff wasn't going on. But now, suddenly, it's getting worse. Getting a whole lot worse. And see, that's what Satan doesn't like. He does not like nations. He does not like people having the same culture. See, that's what I don't understand. When I, yesterday, right quick, yesterday, I had... Dun 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 dun. That's the Panzer Grenadier March. You look at any British movie at all, and when the redcoats come out, that march is going to come out somewhere because that's their signature trait from the 1700s. And then I saw the Trooping of the Colors, and they had it on, and they were talking about the history of the Coldstream Guards and all that. The Anglophile in me just bubbled up. I loved it. And I thought about it. I said, all right, think about things that are British. And then I said, think about things that are Scottish. Think about things that are Irish. Think about things that are German. And think about things that are Japanese. Think about things that are Mexican. Think about things that are Canadian. I said, why is it that everybody can have their own culture and their own identity and their own understanding of who they are and their own language and all this, but I can't? You know why? Because you're part of the problem. Globalism has to triumph in Satan's eyes to bring the Antichrist and the end. Because Satan still thinks he can win. And I want to tell you right now, that's why the forces that be hate President Donald John Trump. He is a nationalist. He is a capitalist. Yes, he is sometimes an egoist as well. But he said he cares for the nation. They don't care for the nation. They want this nation to be multicultural, multitudinous, anything and everything go. Because the identity of who you are has already been erased many, many, many years ago. That's why they had a meltdown of epic proportion when Secretary Clinton lost. She was supposed to be crowned. She wasn't. You know why? Because God didn't let her be, because it wasn't His time. Now, the Republicans didn't save the country. God put the pause button. Because let me tell you, the end's coming, and it ain't going to be pretty. It's not going to be pretty at all. Because when this domino falls, there's going to be 100 other dominoes out there fall. If you thought the Great Depression was bad, you ain't seen nothing yet. And Satan's going to use all of that to bring the world closer together to that one goal, one people, one language, one purpose, one mind. But you know, that's also God's purpose as well. Ephesians 4 says, there is one body and one spirit, even as you're called and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. If anybody anywhere is supposed to be of one people, one language, one purpose, and one mind, it is the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. To see souls saved and to see us learn and inculcate the Word of God and Bible doctrine to make it be our life and us and who we are, that we may go out of these four walls and live for Jesus Christ in a world that's trying to become one with the devil. We need to try to share the light of Jesus and be the thorn in their side. When they say and they preach queer marriage and they preach about socialism and they preach about Satan and everything's fine and everything good and godly is wicked and evil, we're supposed to be the one standing against them. To be the stick in the mud. To be the one that they've got to knock out of the way to make their agenda work. And you know what? I ain't going nowhere. That's why you see all these empty pews. That's why you saw 8 the other Sunday. That's why you saw 22 this Sunday morning rather than 42. You know why? Because Satan does not want us to be of one people, one language, one purpose, and one mind. He wants them doing whatever they want to do. Watch it. Just watch it. Just watch it. In a few weeks, we're going to have the Super Bowl come up. And you're going to find this one herd mentality coming all over the entire country. Even in our churches. You're going to find churches shutting their doors down, not having service, but have Super Bowl parties. To reach the lost? No, to go in that one plan and one mind of them. Guys, we're in a war. And it's time that you take thought and take note of what goes on betwixt your ears. This is what we need. And as long as I'm here, that's what you're going to get. You say, well, you give me some of them weird, funny ideas you had. I try to try not to get you into conspiratorial Craig mind. This is what we need right here, guys. You come in my mind, you'll get lost in there somewhere. I promise. I got too many myriad of different ways. All right, let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. If God's speaking to your heart in any way, shape, or form tonight, what is He asking you? What is He telling you? If God's speaking to you about joining the church, is He speaking to you about perhaps salvation? Is He speaking to you about baptism, rededicating of your life? I don't know what it might be. But whatever God's speaking to you about, give Him the time of day. If He's wanting you to do something, surrender to it. I fought with Him for years about being a preacher, surrendering to the ministry. I told him he was crazy. But I was the one that was crazy.